Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. Since election night 2016, the streets of the U.S. have rung with resistance. People all over the country have woken up with the conviction that they must do something to fight inequality in all its forms. But many are wondering what it is they can do. In this series, we'll be talking with experienced organizers, troublemakers, and thinkers who have been doing the hard work of fighting for a long time. They'll be sharing their insights on what works, what doesn't, what has changed, and what is still the same. I am Sarah Jaffe, your host.
Hi, my name is Alan.
And you're with Nobody Leaves Mid-Hudson?
Yes, I'm with Nadie Se Va de Mid-Hudson. It's in Espanol.
So we're outside of John Faso's office. Start off, tell us your story.
I came to this country very young, over 2 decades ago. My family brought us here. I started kindergarten all the way to high school. Everything was working fine. I didn't worry about my status or nothing like that. I was young. It wasn't until I was 16 I wanted to get a license just like everybody else. Then that's when everything hit me. I didn't have no papers work to show. Then I let the slide. I was like, okay, I could still live without that. Then when I was trying to go to college, my counselor was telling me, do FAFSA, do this, you have good grades, don't worry about it, you're in there. But then when I found out that FAFSA, you need a social security, you need a legal permanent residence, I still did it. I worked, I went to college a couple years. It was kind of hard, college and that, it kind of got expensive. It was a good thing that New York had an in-state tuition. That's a great thing. But I needed to bring my parents' taxes, passport, all these type of IDs just to prove that. And it was very hard for me. And it was also very embarrassing for me when everybody else showed their license and I had to show a passport. Everybody find out that I was undocumented. My major's in engineering. I'm still continuing. I'm still going back to school for that. And it's a struggle, my job. I'm a technician, industrial technician, which is a very good job. I'm afraid of losing that. Every day that I go there to my job, I'm happy now. I'm content. But like you know, DACA is going to end pretty soon. This is something that what if when it ends, my job is going to ask me for my papers, and then I can't show them anything. I lose a pretty salary, pretty good base salary I could lose. And then go back to hiding. I don't want to do that no more. I feel like the country needs to unite and do a legislation bipartisan. There's a lot of things going on. I feel one of the things is racism. I can't see it anywhere else. I took economics for that reason, to understand the economy of this country. And the numbers are there that immigrants will rise the economy up. It will. The numbers are there. They keep saying American first, American first. I just don't get that, because there are jobs. They just, Americans are not going for them. That's what the visas are, to come, immigrants come and fill those spots. Like, they just do not understand that. Like, the jobs are there. Instead of saying American first, they really want that. They need trade schools. They need something else to help the American economy. Jobs are there. And I just feel like they keep saying that it's just racism towards us, we are the minority now, but we are going to become the majority eventually. Yeah. They're afraid of that. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said before, my parents are not criminals. They're not.
You mentioned, and I think it's a really important point, how much money DACA recipients like yourself are paying just to have,
yes,
DACA. Can you tell people who don't know how it actually works, tell them what you had to do in order to get this protection that now Trump wants to take away?
The fee is around $465. That includes biometrics, and that comes a work permit. Mm-hmm. We have to pay. We pay basically for everything. There's no wait. There's no free waivers. There's nothing like that. Maybe for residents, there are. To become citizens, there are waivers. Mm-hmm. But for DACA, there's nothing. So there's 800,000 DACA recipients, and that's just lowballing. If you do the math, 800,000 times 465 comes out to be $400 million. That's a lot of money into the economy. That's not counting when you go purchase a car. That's not counting when you go to get a driver's license, registering a car. That's paying taxes. And we did that. We had to ask people for money because we didn't have money. $465. It's a lot of money, especially for a low-income family household. What else can I say? They have to really understand our struggle in order for them to probably do something about it. Because everybody says, oh, just apply for citizenship, just apply for this. But there's no path for that. They don't know how hard it is. They keep telling me, just apply, just be a legal resident. They don't know how hard it is that. Especially now that the fees are going up in immigration. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know anything recently, but
tell
the fees,
us about that, yeah.
The fees are going, even to become a citizen, the fees are going up $300 more. To become a legal resident, it's $300 more. So it's they're making money off immigrants, I could say that. And that's why I think they want to keep it at that level. To get money from us. That's it. Because if they did a path to citizenship, we pay our dues and that. But they lose money in incarceration. They will lose money. They make money when we go to jail. Mm-hmm. They make money at a state level and a federal level. They make money. And then when you try to come back, even after you pay whoever's going to bring you back to this country, which is ridiculous money, $4,000. Mm-hmm. To get to this country, now you become a criminal because you cross the border, even though you're just trying to do a better life. It's a very tough situation we are in now.
What can the state of New York do if the federal government is going to do this? Is there something that you want to see the state government do?
Yes. Take especially us, take the temporary visitor on our license, because it says that. Mm-hmm. And that shows the cops that we are here basically temporary visitors. Mm-hmm. If that expires, then we can't renew our license no more. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I would tell the state. If Cuomo was in front of me, I would tell him, take the temporary visitor mark off, because that kind of like make us into a section, a non-group. Mm-hmm. That we could lose our any we drive and pull over, we could lose a lot of stuff with that. And that's something I want the state to do, is that, and protect our information. Even though the federal government has our petition, just protect us at your state by not taking away our license when it expires. That's.
And what would you say to John Faso if he popped his head out of the office or something like that and was here to actually listen to all these people who came here to talk to him?
Listen. I would definitely tell him, listen. Read about DACA. Read the benefits. Don't listen to Fox News. I will tell him that. Because I've seen a show. I try to comprehend it. Doesn't go with the numbers. I would honestly just tell him, listen to us. Help us out. You live. There's a lot of immigrants in this community. A lot in the Mid-Hudson Valley. Help them out. It's not just for economic purposes, because economically Kingston will grow, but also moral. If I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but moral-wise.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how you got involved with Nobody Leaves Mid-Hudson.
Well, my the main organizer, Ignacio, I know him for quite some time. I work with Rural Migrant Ministry, with Farm Workers Advocacy. So I've been in this type of before. But now he brought me in. He asked me, listen, you're a DACA recipient. I need your voice for many, not just for Kingston, but for many. So that's what I'm doing here. It's a great organization. He tells me, I'm there for you. But I just also want you to help yourself. I'm gonna be right there backing up for you. And it's an organization you kind of have to. If people could donate to it, it would be a great cause. Membership is not that much. It's $25. You would greatly benefit from it, from learning, being more diverse.
How can people find out more about it?
Go to the website, Mid-Hudson. nobodylistenmehudson.com.
And anything else you want people to know?
We're humans. Treat us like humans. Treat us like citizens of this, not the country, because citizens of the world. That's what we want. We are humans. I'm tired of people saying, what are you? What are you? I'm human. That's what I'm at. Treat me like a human. That's what I want.
Renee Oni Esele, O-N-I hyphen capital E-S-E-L-E-H, activist, organizer, artist.
All right. And so we're outside of John Fosso's house. You were just speaking at the rally here. Give people a short version of your story.
Basically, I am basically what happens without DACA. I didn't get DACA. I was 2 months too old for it, and I missed out on being able to go to school. I don't have a work visa. I haven't been able to work for a year. I actually would be on disability for various reasons, but I can't claim anything that I've paid into since I was 16 because of my status.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there are so many questions that I want to ask, but one of the things is, as she was just saying, that, you know, what happens a lot is that different groups of immigrants get played off against each other as good and bad, and so I wonder if you could just speak to that.
Oh, I hate that. And I am part of a forgotten demographic of immigrants. Black immigrants tend to be completely left out of the conversation. It's not at all right to play any of us against each other, because we're literally all in the same position. There are different benefits with the immigration system depending on where you come from, mm-hmm. but that's not our fault. That's the American immigration system. Yeah. And I think that as immigrants, we need to come together as our own block of people, yeah. and kind of say, we're here. We are some of the biggest contributors to American society. We start most of the businesses. We get the job done. So we need to come together and make our voices heard.
Yeah. So talk about how you got involved with all the different organizing you do, because I imagine with CBH you work at a lot of things.
I actually it started with going to the Millions March in NYC, just as a protester, and I've been to the Women's March, and it just started with this feeling that now was the time to kind of take control of our destiny, and it was time to, you know, make our voices heard. I would really rather do anything else, but at this moment in history, I have to speak out or I will fall by the wayside.
And so in New York, what sort of can be done on the local level if the federal government is in Trump's hands for the next however long?
At the local level, I live in Poughkeepsie personally. I helped get safe city legislation passed in my city just by showing up to common council meetings, by meeting the mayor, by befriending him on Facebook, by talking to people that I know locally, and just making sure that people know that I'm here and this is a concern that I had, and know put a human face on an issue.
And so we're outside of John Fosso's office. If he would actually come out and talk to people, what would you say to him?
I would say that it is cruel to dangle DACA in front of so many people's eyes and then snatch it away. I would say that it's short-sighted fiscally irresponsible to try and get rid of something that's actually making a lot of money. And again, it's a cruel and unusual situation to put people who have done nothing wrong but show up and try to live their lives into a situation where you're telling them that they don't deserve anything.
What else do you want people to know?
I want people to know that we're just people, and the strain of being undocumented for a really long time puts a lot of stress on you mentally. I am very high functioning and I'm very outspoken, but I know that it's because I'm just a strong person. I know that I speak for the people who can't speak for themselves. And I just want people to know that we're here and we aren't trying to take anything from you. We're trying to add to the whole melting pot. So
How can people keep up with you?
People can follow me at Instagram at Dharmarama, Dharmarama. And on Facebook, Renee T. Oni Asele.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Faillebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.